Today on Roadmap to Success with Pastor Neil.
So whatever the situation you find yourself in, there is a next. But the problem is, will it be a default because you chose to do nothing? Will it be a demonic because you gave in to what the enemy brought? Or you will maximize the opportunities God give you so that you can have a divine what? Next.
Life is full of transitions, new days, opportunities, and seasons. But what kind of next are we stepping into? In this week's lesson, Pastor Neil teaches that we can experience one of three types of next: the default next, the demonic next, or the divine next. The default next happens when we passively move forward without intentionally seeking change through faith. It's the path of least resistance. The demonic next is when Satan strategically interferes with God's plan, aiming to discourage and derail us from walking in faith and to lose sight of what God desires for our lives. The divine next, however, is when we fully trust in God's promises and seize the opportunities He places before us. Jeremiah 29:11 reassures us of this truth. Pastor Neil reminds us that trials do not cancel God's purpose. They refine us. So we must walk in faith, knowing that setbacks are never strong enough to thwart divine destiny. Like Job, we can one day declare, "I know that you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted." Let's listen to Pastor Neil in this week's lesson. Our divine next.
The focus of today's message is that God has a plan for your life. God has what? God had a plan for this ministry, and over the years, He's unfolded it in His own way. But you don't live only in God's plan. If you are not careful, you'll be living what I call the default next or the demonic next, not the divine next. I pray that you will know what God wants, and your life will be in that order. Amen. Amen. So for our 20th anniversary, we'll be celebrating our divine next. What is the next thing that God has for us as a ministry? And I want us to begin to discuss this message, but in the light of your own life, that God has brought you this far and He has something for you. So let's begin with this statement. God always has a next in store for you. Say that with me. Life challenges sometimes makes us feel that the current situation that we find ourselves in is what is and will be for us. But today I want you to understand something, that there is always a next in life. Say that with me. How many of you were born maybe 20, 30 years ago, and you are still where you are? Anybody? You notice that you were born, and things keep what? Changing. There is always what? A next. And Satan wants you to think that today's life, because there is trouble, that is all there is going to be. But that's not true. There is going to be a next. I said there is going to be what? All right. The question is, which of the next is it that you're going to have? And I want to talk about three of them, but our focus is only one. There is what I call a default next. Secondly, there is a demonic next. And thirdly, a divine next. But we believe, as believers, that we live in the divine next. I said we live in what? But if you don't learn how to maximize, you will always be living the default and the demonic. What happens in your life is not because God has orchestrated it. It is because you have failed to make real choices that brings changes in your life. And that's what I want us to discuss, that God, in His mercy, always has a plan for us. And He wants to do something important. Anybody has a phone in the house? Lift it up. How many of you know that your phone came with a default setting? How many of you know that your phone came with a default setting? Some people don't even know their phone came with a default setting. Yes, it did. Because when the phone showed up, the home page was already what? Set. That is the default. So you who is the user, when you start programming it differently, start changing the apps, downloading different apps, it is no more in a default mode. It has been tampered with. The default has been what? Tampered with. You can live life in a default mode. And many Christians are doing that. And sometimes they want to blame Satan for it. Life has a way of forcing you to live in default. But I want you to understand that you can override the default settings the same way you do it with your phones. And things will start changing. And things will start moving in the way that God wants it to be. Amen. So, the default next, let's try and define these terms. It's the kind of next when you don't intentionally seek to change some life circumstances by faith. The scripture says that the just shall live by faith. You are supposed to live by faith. If you don't live by faith, things will happen by default to you. And you can cry all you want, but that is not how life works. Those who see change do something on purpose so that things change for them. Are you here with me? You can go for prayer meetings and pray that your finances change. But if you keep buying burgers and spending money without saving, you will be poor. Are you with me? So the default when it comes to money is just spending money. If you had $2 million given to you today, what would you do? Some people would say, I'll buy this and I'll buy that. That tells the kind of mentality you have about money, because your mentality is spending to show how rich you are. But the truth is, rich people, the real rich people, they don't spend that much. It is because they save, that's why they are rich. It's poor people who spend. I'm going to buy an expensive watch so everybody knows I am rich. No. If you have $10 and you spend $1, how rich are you? How rich are you? You're $9 rich. But if you spend $8, how rich are you? You're $2 rich. So the more you spend, the poorer you get. In life, you are going to experience pain, trouble, suffering. All kinds of things will come your way. Things you are prepared for and things you are not prepared for. If you don't make certain decisions on purpose, if you don't maximize the situations, no matter how exhausted you are, you will experience the default next. Whatever happens in your life next, because there was always going to be what? A next. The next one that you experience will simply be the default. Amen. Amen. Secondly, you find that there is what I call a demonic next, where Satan orchestrates certain things to get you to give up on what God wants to do in your life. Everybody turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Luke chapter 4. And if you can, read with me the scripture, that would be great. Luke chapter 4, I'll read it in two versions of the Bible. Luke chapter 4, we'll look at the 13th verse. The NIV says, when the devil had finished all these tempting, he left him until an opportune time. So the temptation Satan brought was for that day. He was going to bring another one another time. The King James uses the word, he says, when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. So with Satan, there's also a next. He tries you today, it doesn't work, he's going to come back later. Are you guys with me? But then what I want you to see is what God does. There is what I call a divine next. Everybody say divine next. There have been several divine next to bring us to this place as a church. There have been a divine next to have brought us to this point, as long as we are learning to maximize. And God is going to do that if we keep making the choices that he wants us to make. Lamentations chapter 3. Some of us want things to happen on its own. It doesn't do that. If you don't make positive choices, I bet you, you will live the default mode. And many believers are living in the default mode. I can't believe this is happening to me. You should believe it because you left it. And it's happening. Are you in Lamentations chapter 3? From verses 22 to 23, it's a very familiar text. We'll read it from the ESV. He says that steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Underline those two words. Never ceases. His mercies never comes to an end. Notice, never ceases, never comes to an end. So there is a next with it. Are you following me? They are new just today. They are new just today. Everyone morning. So he reminds you that the mercies of God are not just for yesterday, not today, but it is for tomorrow. So he shows you that there is a next also with God. And we see that in the life of the prophet Jeremiah, when he talks about the fact that his soul is down, but he says, when I remember the steadfast love of the Lord that never ceases, his mercies that never comes to an end. The mercies and the steadfast love that gets renewed every morning. I know that if today I have pain, tomorrow I will see the mercy of the Lord. Are you understanding what we're doing? So if your present state is in pain, the normal thing or the normal next should be what? Good health. Are you with me? If you are in a valley, what is the next? Yeah, if you are in a valley, when you jump, you should still be in the valley. You should go up. The next is on top of the mountain. So your life cannot always be painful. There has to be a next where if you are in pain, you will move to there. So if there is stress, what is the next? Peace. If there is sickness, what is the next? Healing. If there is unemployment, what is the next? So whatever the situation you find yourself in, there is a next. But the problem is, will it be a default because you chose to do nothing? Will it be a demonic because you gave into what the enemy brought? Or you will maximize the opportunities God give you so that you can have a divine what? Next. We have come this far as a ministry by faith because we maximize the moments God gave us, so that we do not have a default, nor are we having a demonic next, but a divine next. And I believe the same thing can happen in your life. I said, I believe the same thing can happen in your life. Now, maybe you are saying, Pastor, I'm not in pain. Everything is going well. If everything is going well, at least things can get better. It is like the superlative. Good. Better. All right. Big. Uh-huh. Tall. Many. No. It's many more and most. Amen. What I want to show you by this superlatives is that God has your life and he has made a decision that he's going to move you from one step to another, to another, to another, so that you can get to a place where things are where he wants it to be. Ephesians chapter 3. Look at the 20th verse if you can read with me. I'll read this from the King James. He says, now unto him that can do exceeding abundantly, above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. God can do exceeding abundantly. Most people misinterpret this verse. They call it, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly. No, it is exceeding abundantly. In other words, God can do the abundant, but not just the abundant, but the exceeding aspect of the abundant. Did you understand what we just said? So he's saying that God can do, if the word abundant is, for example, good, then God can do the exceeding aspect of the good. Are you following me? So you are serving a God who says, I can take your life from the good and take it to the better and then make it the best. I can take your life from the big to the bigger and the biggest. God is a God who is specialized in changing your life and my life. So today I want to challenge you for the next few weeks that I wanted to stir up your faith and believe the Lord because we are still maximizing. Do not allow life just simply to throw stuff at you and you grab them, because if you did that, what you will experience is the default next. And if Satan is in the loop, it will be his next. Are you with me? I remember many, many years ago when this ministry began. It was begun on Palm Sunday in my basement, in my house. Few weeks, we moved to a hotel called Sleep Inn. Few weeks, we moved from Sleep Inn Hotel to, back then they call it the FSK Hotel on Holiday Drive. Today it's called the Clarion Inn. From that hotel, we went to a storefront on the Golden Mile. From there, we went to downtown. So you see that there's always what? A next. Then from downtown, we came here. Chances are, I would say this is the best. But what if God says this actually is the better? But then I have something much what? Bigger. Amen. It is the same thing with your life. You think you have arrived. No, 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 no. You serve a God who knows how to take things and says, I will do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you ask. If you can dare to ask or imagine it, God is able to make it happen. Do not live life by default. I said, do not live life by what? You are hoping somebody somewhere will show up and do something for you. You're kidding yourself. People naturally are selfish. Everybody is looking after themselves. And don't ever think they will come do something for you. When you make choices on purpose, then God will call somebody to come and do something on your behalf. So the person is not acting on their own. In fact, if they were allowed to make their choice, they wouldn't do that. But they are doing it because you have taken a step of faith. And God has stepped in the middle of it and is making it happen. Somebody ought to say amen. Amen. So I pray that God has to bring us to a place. You see, this truth is not new to all of us sitting here. Am I right? This is not new. We know God can do better. We know God can do better. The problem is that when we are in the midst of an issue, we tend to forget. So today I want to impress some truth on your heart that God has a plan for your life. Say that with me. Let's say it again. God has a plan for my life. Are you really sure God has a plan?
Yes.
Ephesians chapter 1. I just want to push this. I'll come to where our real lesson was that. I'm still laying a foundation. Ephesians chapter 1. Let's look at verse 11. In him we also were chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. The scripture says that God, by his foreknowledge, has already set up a plan for you. This is why you must understand. It doesn't matter who went for a meeting and they worked something out. If for some reason it looks like they succeeded, they have actually not succeeded. Because nobody has ever planned something that has actually put out the plan of God. That's what I'm trying to get you to. God has a plan for my life. So it doesn't matter which government. If God's plan is for you to live in the United States, no amount of deportation will get you. You don't need to be afraid, because when God sets out a plan, no human, absolute, in fact, no demon too. But sometimes that thing has not sunk down into our knower. It's not gotten down deep. So we tend to live life and allow life to happen. Don't allow life to happen. Begin to choose on purpose to walk by faith and say, God, I see it, but I refuse to live that way because I do believe you have a better plan for me. Say it one more time. Lift your hands and say, my God has a plan for me. Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2. Look at the 10th verse, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. It says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God prepared in advance. So if God has prepared something in advance, who can step in and stop it? That's the thing you need to remind yourself of. The word handiwork has to do with someone who is a craftsman. Everybody say craftsman. If you ever visited a metal shop, right? That is where you see craftsmen or carpenters or maybe people who do pottery. And then they start something. Sometimes when you are standing close by and you are looking at what they are doing, you will have no clue what they intend to achieve. Have you ever watched an artist, the ones who draw images, right? When they start painting, oftentimes you don't know where they are going with their painting. You see one line, two dots, and then maybe three dots scattered, and it doesn't make sense. But if you stay close and watch that handiwork, you will gradually begin to see the image coming out. So when people look at you, they see one line. They see two dots. They have no clue what God has already prepared. And it takes time, and God is going to bring his work of artistry. And when people say, oh, we never knew. This is why you cannot look at people and prejudge them. Because you have no clue what God has already what? Planned for them. Now, I want you to forget about people and think about you. God has a plan for you. In the year 2025, it may look like a straight line. Maybe by 2026, you see two dots. But give yourself time and keep walking with that God and keep placing faith in that God. And you'll begin to see that an image will begin to what? Emerge. So the scripture says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. We are his handiwork, created in Christ Jesus unto what? Unto? So what God has for you is not bad works. It's good works. Are you with me? The book of John chapter 10 verse 10. Tell the person sitting next to you, God has a plan concerning you. Never forget that. If you are married here, God has a plan for the marriage. The troubles and the fight is not his plan. But he's going to use the troubles and the fight. I'll get to that. Are you in John chapter 10 and verse 10? Let's read if you can, shall we? Go. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I like it in the Amplified. He says, I have come that you may have life abundantly until it becomes an overflow full. The devil's next is to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But Jesus says the divine next is so that you will have what? Life. And have it to their full. Are you really living life to the full? Because sometimes people's interpretation is that living life to the full is having a car and a house. I bet you there are people who have cars and houses and they don't have peace. That is not living life to the full. In fact, if you will allow me, it is not the best illustration, but it gives you an idea. I remember a couple of years ago, I was in downtown Frederick walking. And I was walking through on a hot day. It was really hot. And I met this guy. He was sitting by the side of the road, and he leaned on a building. And in over 100 degree temperature, he was asleep. I am not saying he's living life to the full, but if somebody lives life to the full, that's the kind of picture that when everything that surrounds them look like it is working against them, they are able to live above it. Are you hearing me today? And that is you. I want you to turn, look straight at the person sitting next to you. You have to change your mind. Tell them. God has a plan for you. Don't let your circumstances put you down. Now, I want us to ask a very important theological question. That if my life has been preordained by God, and God has a plan for me, how come that crazy stuff happens to me? Is that a good question to look at? Because there are many, God has a plan. We heard that. He's able to do exceeding, but doesn't seem to be true, because when I look at my own life, stuff is happening to me. Please listen very carefully to me. Israel, come here. Israel is my son. There are plans I have for him. He has no clue. But he knows. No, I have plans for him that he has no clue. But as long as he remains my son, my plan, which unknown to him, but known to me, would actually be put in place until they come to pass. Am I correct? Now, if he sways off and he's on the street doing all kinds of craziness, does his behavior change the plan I have for him?
No.
I want you to understand what you're saying to yourself. Because sometimes something little happens, the plan of God is over. No, it's not. Because the plan I have for him, the day he returns and come back home, I will implement my plan for him. Do not allow the devil to come to you and to tell you that because there have been some few issues and maybe you are troubled and maybe you've not had a job, a stable one for a long time, so your finances are over. No. They are just in a limbo. But it ain't over. Because the plan of God for you, it's still the same. And I'll show it to you. Go with me to the book of Job. Let's look at the life of a guy in the Bible who had so much happening to him. And in the midst of it, he has three friends of his come to him, and they had conversations with him, and they said all kinds of craziness. You know how human beings, every day we have explanations. How many of you have friends like that? Yes, you do. You do. Friends who always have a meaning for something in your life. When they start this time, tell them, child, just keep quiet because you are not God. Because my heavenly Father has a plan for my life. We all know the story of Job. Job went through so much. And the scripture says, as he continued to go through things, his friends kept telling him, child, we don't see anything. Everything is going bad. But in Job 42, verse 2 and 3, Job says something that is so powerful. But that was after he came to a conclusion. Let's read his conclusion statement. Read with me. Go. I know that you can do all things. Pause right there. That is what many believers know. But the next statement, we don't know. Because we allow people's explanations and troubles to throw us off.
Thank you for joining us on this spiritual encounter. Need more help? Text RADIO to 301 866-896-8555 or visit us on the web at covenantfamilychapel.org. You may also visit us at one of our in-person services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and discover the difference that the kingdom of God makes. Like up on social media, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram, all at Covenant One Family.